Let's open our Bibles now to 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll pick it up at verse 8 and read on through verse 19. Here we read about the cleansing of Naaman the leper, and it's a great picture of salvation and cleansing from sin. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 8. So it was when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he, that is Elisha, said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." Then he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. Once again, some background notes. Naaman was a commander of the Syrian army, and he was a great military leader, but he had leprosy. He had come down to Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, because one of his captured slaves, a Jewish teenage girl, had faithfully witnessed to him. She told him that the God of Israel could heal him through the ministry of the prophet Elisha. So Naaman came down to Samaria in all his military splendor, with lots of money and a letter from the king of Syria, King Ben-Hadad. And he went first to the king of Israel, Jehoram. Elisha sends a message to King Jehoram and says, verse 8, "Send him over to me." So Naaman arrives at Elisha's house. Well, Elisha doesn't even come out of the house. He sends a messenger with a simple message: "Go wash in the river Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean." Well, Naaman's reaction is he's furious. I imagine he swore in the Aramaic language. But he's furious. He's mad. He can't handle this. What is this? I expected at least he'd come out and lay hands on me, or he'd go through some ritualistic ceremony calling on the God of Israel and so forth. Not only that, aren't the rivers in Damascus better than the Jordan? At least they're clean. Why? I can't believe this. Got to go down to the muddy river Jordan and dip 7 times. He drives away in a rage. Fortunately, cooler heads prevailed. His servants say there in verse 13, "Hey, what's the big deal? You know, if Elisha had asked you to do something great, you do it. Like crawl on your hands and knees down through Israel from Dan to Beersheba, you do that. Why not be willing to dip in the river Jordan? No big deal. Not only that, we're going to cross it on our way back to Damascus anyway." Well, finally, Naaman says, "All right," and he gives in. He eats his pride, and he submits, and he's cleansed. Now he wants to give Elisha a gift. But Elisha says no, he refuses it. In verse 17, Naaman says, well, at least then could I take two loads of dirt from Israel back to Syria, because no longer am I going to worship the gods of Syria, the God of Israel. He is God, and I want to worship him, and I want to worship him on ground from Israel. Well, apparently Elisha says that's okay. Now, one more background note before we go to our doctrinal points. Verse 18 might be a little confusing. Naaman here in verse 18 says, well, could you pardon me just in one thing? I'm going to worship the God of Israel. He's the Lord, for sure. But you see, I occasionally have to go in with my master, Ben-Hadad, into the pagan Syrian temple there, the house of Rimmon, and I have to go through this ceremony of bowing down and so forth. Is it okay if I do that? Now, what I want you to specifically note here is that Elisha in no way approves. You might think from what you read at the end of verse 19, when Elisha says, go in peace, that Elisha is approving this. No, Elisha is not approving or disapproving. He's basically just saying, go home in peace. Godspeed. Well, I have two doctrinal points for today. And doctrinal point number one is this. A humble and obedient faith is required for salvation. A humble and obedient faith is required for salvation. In the cleansing of Naaman the leper, we have a wonderful picture of salvation. Leprosy throughout the Bible is a picture of sin. It's a systemic disease. That is, a disease of the system. You don't get leprosy of the leg, you get leprosy. So is sin. We are sinners by nature. It's a systemic disease. Furthermore, leprosy could be covered up in the early stages. So with sin. Oh, look at that little baby. You mean they're a sinner? They young kids, they don't look like they're sinners. Well, it's not long before it comes out, right? And ultimately, if nothing was done concerning leprosy, the person died. So with sin, it leads to death. Naaman had everything going for him, except he was a leper. Naaman is a great picture here of the natural man at his best, but still a sinner. Naaman, we saw, was very successful at the pinnacle of his career. He was wealthy and presumably, from what we see here, happily married. Furthermore, he was an honorable man, verse 1, well-liked by his superiors and subordinates alike. But all this could not cure him of his leprosy. What a picture we have here of man at his best. Everything going for a person, but still a sinner. There was only one way that Naaman could be cured of his leprosy. He had to submit to the humbling experience of dipping in the River Jordan, according to the command of the God of Israel through the prophet Elisha. It was a simple enough way, but oh, so humbling. So it is with salvation. There's one way, simple, straightforward, faith in Christ. Acts 4:12. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only one way. But oh, so humbling. You have to eat your pride. As Naaman had to get down out of his chariot, strip himself of all that military garb and all the honors that he wore and so forth, and obey, renounce his pride, humble himself, submit and obey in order to be cured, so we. If we're going to come to Christ and have salvation, we have to come the only way there is, through Christ. We have to renounce our pride. We have to submit. We have to obey. Come through Christ alone. I want you to notice how faith is definitely emphasized here. Naaman had to dip 7 times. Can you imagine after 6 times? I'm not being cured at all. He had to go down the 7th time. Have you taken that step? A humble and obedient faith is necessary for salvation. Doctrinal point number 2. A new heart and a new life are the results of salvation. A new heart and a new life are the results of salvation. What a change we see in Naaman. A great picture of the results of salvation. His cure is immediate and complete. That's the way salvation is. Naaman's skin is like a young child's, a baby skin. No more tattoos. I don't know whether he had tattoos or not. But it emphasizes no more leprosy. Complete cure. Brand new. The picture of salvation here is salvation means a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. And look at the change in the heart of Naaman here. He's so happy and thankful. He goes back to Elisha, wants to give a gift, not in payment, verse 16, but as a gift. That's the way it is when a person becomes a Christian. A new heart and a new life are the results of salvation. All right, what about practical application? Expect all kinds of reactions when you present the simple gospel to people. That's the practical application right from this passage. Expect all kinds of reactions when you present the simple gospel to people. Look at Naaman's reaction in verses 11 and 12 to the simple solution to his problem of leprosy. Just go down and dip 7 times, wash 7 times in the River Jordan. He doesn't like it. He's mad. Well, that's all right for some people, but not for me. Hey, I'm the commander of the Assyrian army. He reasons logically, but wrongly. At least let me take the clean waters of the rivers in Damascus. Why this muddy Jordan? That sounds logical, right? But it's wrong. Just the way some people today, that's their reaction when you present the simple gospel. They might reason logically, well, that's all right for some people through Jesus Christ, but can't a sincere Muslim, sincere Hindu, can't they make it? Don't all roads lead up the same mountain? That seems logical, doesn't it? But wrong. Expect all kinds of reactions when you present the simple gospel to people. So Naaman turns away. Verse 12, he turns away mad, in a rage. So it is today. Expect all kinds of reaction when you present the simple gospel to people. But notice, Naaman changed his mind, and he came back. And you may find the same. It happens. It's great to see that here in Naaman. You'll find the same in your life as well. Whether it be a kid here that you're presenting the gospel to in the cabin, or a fellow student, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody you work with, they can change their mind. But you can expect all kinds of reactions when you present the simple gospel to people. Practical application number 2. Be extremely careful how you handle money in the Lord's work. Be extremely careful how you handle money in the Lord's work. We've already seen, verse 16, that when Naaman comes back to present a gift to Elisha, Elisha refuses. It wouldn't have been wrong for Elisha to receive that gift. He could have used it for the ministry. I can think of all kinds of ways that I would have justified it. Sure, hey, I'll funnel this money from Syria into the Lord's work and so forth. But Elisha refuses, not because he had to refuse, but he didn't want to risk any wrong ideas rippling out in Israel or in Syria that somehow the cure had been bought. He refuses. We too must be extremely careful how we handle money in the Lord's work. We need to be careful not to show favor to the big contributors, for example. We need to be careful to avoid all appearances of evil. What strings are attached? All these things have to be thought through. You got to be extremely careful how you handle money in the Lord's work.